Well, good morning. It is great to be with you at Hillcrest here this morning and to bring you the word and to kind of get to come home to Hillcrest and to be with you. When Pastor David gave me this opportunity, of course, I always receive it humbly, knowing that many in the room could be here and do a superb job. So I'm always grateful for that. And I always just get very sentimental when I think about how the Lord brings us back full circle sometimes in our journeys. And years ago when I was pastoring at Conway, well, funny one is years and years ago, and I won't say when it would have been, my name was in your pile of pastor search, and I never got a call. But so I went to Conway instead. But I began to meet many of you, met a guy that has become one of my best friends in life and has been on every stage and crook and valley of the journey with me, and he's now our associate pastor, Bradley. Met him. We talked for about an hour and a half under a tree out at Laclede Baptist Youth Camp my first year at Conway, and we are the two most opposite people in the world you meet, but the Lord just makes us brothers. Amen? And then to be back with you and to see and be a part here with so many of you. And I always say one of the reasons I came to Laclede, came to Hillcrest when I came to Laclede is because Hillcrest is on mission for the Lord. And it's not about how much we do, but it's about the intent in which we do it. And when something's going on, Hillcrest shows up. When there's trees to be cut, when there's camp meals to fix, when there's something going on, Hillcrest, you're there. And I know you're going to be there, and I hope I never take for granted that you're going to be there, but you are. And actually, Bradley and I were having this conversation of pastor is gone, and Bradley's going to be in pulpit next week. So if you picked the Sunday because you thought it was going to be Bradley, don't leave. Come back next week, okay? It's funny, every once in a while, you know, I like to sing too, and when I was pastoring, I did a solo, and this lady come up and says, "I'm sure glad you're our preacher." So I don't know what she meant by that. So I just always receive it very, very humbly. But Bradley and I were speaking about, you know, pastor is, he's very good about series, and then Bradley's got Father's Day next week, so what happens here in the middle? And I want to share with you some words from Romans today regarding a word that we use sometimes kind of flippantly, especially, I don't know, in Baptist life. I don't know about our other denominational brothers and sisters of other faith. But within Baptist realm sometimes, a lot of times we use this term and we'll talk about being called. Or the Lord called me, or the Lord did the... But that word of the calling... And recently, one of the joys I get to do is be a part of those young men who in their lives, the Lord is, we would say, calling them into the ministry. And I get to have that talk with them. The good, the bad, the warning, and the celebrative of what that looks like and how that begins to happen. Of course, none of us do the calling. The Holy Spirit does through God the Father. But that word of what is that calling? And sometimes then that calling will lead to a point in which maybe we'll see some individuals ordained. We've seen that here recently. I got to lead a part where we had an ordination service in which three men entered into ministry. And while that's exciting and while that's neat, sometimes that can also kind of create an us and them feeling. Or maybe I'm jumpy about that. Kind of, well, that's for them, and I got to sit here and watch. I'm going to challenge you today in the aspect of the word, the calling, to bring us to a point to ask you at the end, what is your calling? Because I think we took an intent that has a correctness to it, but we have forgot the fullness of a meaning when we think about the idea of the calling. Just this morning, and it's so exciting. I mean, this is a Hillcrest thing. just this morning, as we were hearing the various announcements and presentations, I mean, think through with me the number of opportunities or, quote, callings of service that we saw and heard about just in the first 20 minutes of our service. Whether it's filling a need at a vacation Bible school. I remember when I was pastoring, a lady came up and she said, I will help with Bible school, but I do not like children. She fixed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all week and loved it, okay? But whether it's vacation Bible school, whether it's a van ministry, whether it's a roofing project that may never be seen but needed to happen, whether it's youth camp, and I mean, that is a camp is coming up. I'm 2 weeks into 7 weeks of camp because we've got groups out there all July long. Whether it's a camp ministry, whether it's a heart for Cuba, whether it's praying for the K people, whether it's going on mission with us in the end of July to Chicago metro area, we think, and that's part of my task, that's part of my ministry, is to be on mission. But many times, either it can be easy to say, well, even in the purest of heart, God hasn't called me to go do that, and I'm not going to say He hasn't. But sometimes that can be the cop-out ticket of, well, God hasn't called me to go do that, so I don't have to. And I challenge you today, first of all, I'm not even to the sermon yet. I first of all challenge you today that one of my always pet peeves is, I will give you credit that God has not said, you shall be a missionary maybe. Because nowhere in their New Testament is the term missionary used as a title. But He does say, and you shall be my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Not if you feel called, you shall be. You are my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. So let's begin a journey through the first few verses of Romans to see what is this term of the calling. Romans chapter 1, as New International reads, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel He promised beforehand to the prophets and the holy scriptures regarding His Son, who asked in His human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him and for His sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. And you are also among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. What are your initial thoughts of that phrase, being called? And kind of a funny thing too that happens behind the scenes is when you get invited to preach at Hillcrest, you provide an outline that has to include blanks. I'm not a fill in the blank person. And so Bradley and I have often talked about this, and I want you to know we have one of the finest pastors in the state of Missouri here at Hillcrest. He is a man that is doctrinally sound. He is a man that is compassionate of heart. He is a man that is gifted in administration. Linda, you don't have to comment, but I love our pastor. And he is my pastor, though I'm his pastor. Figure that one out. And I'll go down fighting for our pastor. But he is a man of detail. And his outlines are just amazing. I sit and I look at them going, okay, I've got a good sermon for next week. But I may not fill in all the blanks this morning, so please stay with me. And it's kind of like that road trip game, you know, you'd pick up at the truck stop that was called Mad Libs and you fill in an adjective. So just pick a word. And hopefully it's a good Bible word, you know. Jesus is the answer to everything. Just write down Jesus. I had a youth friend, and I was in high school youth group, and that was always his answer because he said the Sunday school couldn't tell him that Jesus was wrong. So Jesus is always the answer if you don't have the fill in the blank, okay? But what are your thoughts about the phrase being called? Maybe there are those that you see it. It's that person that the Lord is putting in some position. It's that pastor. It's that missionary that they're being called to the ministry. And I have those conversations often. Just had one about a month ago with a young man. He says, "Stephen, I think the Lord is calling me into the ministry." That's not a wrong term. Probably a correct term. But what about us? By the way, there's lots of preachers out there, and you don't all have to be one of us. That would be really scary. There are those of you that you are strong in your faith, and you know without a doubt that your career is your calling. The Lord put it in your heart to go into education, and God bless you. We're going to have an altar call and pray over you, okay? Your career, a businessman, a businesswoman, whatever it may be. Maybe your family has been your mission field your whole journey. And I would not say that a calling into a career is by any means a wrong use of the term. Maybe some of you are like, "Well, that's kind of that church word, and I'm not for sure. You know, I'm good at something, but is that really my calling?" For this message, I would like us to scrap that initial concept that a calling is a job, or a calling is even necessarily a task-oriented word. As we begin to walk through Romans, I'd like these first few verses, I'd like for us to think about the aspects of how Paul uses this word of being called. Also, I know I have former preaching students in here, so I'm not allowed to use the word things. So today our key word is aspects, and all my terms are parallel in form. The aspects that he uses in the calling, we see the first aspect of the calling that Paul understood was that he was called and set apart for the gospel. He says that. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Now, of course, this is a letter. As much as Colossians or Ephesians or Galatians or any of those letters would have been written to their respective bodies or even shared among many congregations. But this letter, distinctively written to the Roman church, the Christians in Rome, and we see that because of the depth of doctrine that begins to come out of it. This is distinctively written to them, and Paul oftentimes, as he writes to a specific church, will kind of title himself in a way that identifies with the persons of that particular church that he's writing to. And so as Paul writes to the church at Rome, Paul gives himself the credential of being that of a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel. And so you have that therefore, and I think it's really interesting that as Paul is, quote, trying to prove his point with authority, the first aspect of credential that he starts out with is that he is a servant, he is a slave of the Christ Jesus. That's probably not going to be a diploma that you're hanging on your office wall. But that's where he begins. A servant of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, who then was called to be an apostle, which means I've been set apart for the gospel. As that flows from one to the other, he starts that he is a slave, that he has been called, and in that calling, thus, he is set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul identifies and he understands that, yes, I am called, and yes, I am set apart. Now, not to make Paul some holier than thou than the standard believer, but yes, it is obvious, in Paul's ministry that the Lord called him, as remember that story, blinded him and knocked him off the horse. God called him into the ministry and said, you're going to do some things for me. And you're going to start right now. And thus we see all of Europe being ministered to and us having 2/3 of our New Testament, approximately. Yes, Paul was set apart. I am no Paul. I've seen some that seem awfully close. But there was a distinct difference, I would agree, in what Paul was called to do. And Paul acknowledges that yes, he is called and he has been set apart for a purpose. So, while I said let's scrap the idea of titles and positions, I do agree that there are persons that the Lord sets apart and calls out for specific ministerial purposes. And I was saved at the cross, and I found out about it when I was 13. Let's word it that way. And when I was 15 years old, they sat through a sermon, and the Lord called me into ministry, into pastoral ministry. And so, yes, that was a distinct calling. And I've been on that journey ever since. I can tell you where I was when it happened. I wanted to be a park ranger because I thought you'd get paid to go on hikes. And he switched all that up and said, no, you're not going to CMSU. You're going to go to SBU. And the journey began. So I believe that, yes, that happens. But I don't want to go into this realm of an us and them. I do believe that as Paul is writing this, that he does identify, yes, the Lord has a purpose and plan for me, but soon as we continue on with the message, we're going to see that that plan includes all of us. And so the second aspect of the calling that Paul understood is the receiving of grace and apostleship that comes through the Father. We jump down to verse 5. Now, don't worry. That doesn't mean we're getting out any sooner. But we jump down to verse where it says, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people among all the Gentiles. I think it's awesome that in all of Paul's, we might say, power and possibility and credential and wow of who he is for us. And Paul, I mean, he could have said, hey, here's my resume. Paul always takes us back to the humbling fact that we all do it in the grace of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just not a Romans thing. We could go to Ephesians, we could go to Galatians, we could go to all those letters. Paul always takes us back to the humbling fact of grace. And just let me say this also, that grace is not a one-time thing. And you know, maybe I don't think I have any groupies that follow me around any churches, but I say this often so I forget where I say it. Is grace is not a one-time deal. Grace is not just that thing we got the day that we found out Jesus saved us and we have it up there next to our Sunday school chart on the mantle. Grace is abundant, grace is overflowing, and grace is continual. And a person that taught me a lot in my journey always used the phrase, every step I take is a step in grace. And I believe that, and I see that on my journey, and I see that when doors closed and they reopened, and I see that in forgiveness. Who am I to be the one that even gets to proclaim the word? Who am I to walk in forgiveness? A sinner such as me? And I hope all of us always realize the grace that we got at the cross. And as believers, we can kind of forget. I've been in some meetings that we forget this whole grace thing. Not Baptists. we forget that the world does not understand this grace. And so we're to walk in it as a reminder of the beauty of it. And so Paul starts there, or takes us back there. It says, we received grace and apostleship. That's where the accountability part comes in. Through this message. Now, while I said don't get excited that I'm already down to a verse that far, I want to back up to what the message is. The message to us, it's actually a good 3-point sermon. And it actually begins in the Old Testament and goes to the resurrection. And actually it's very consistent with sermons that you might see throughout the New Testament, which includes words of the prophet, which identify Christ as being of the line of David and his mission and his ministry and his resurrection. So let's back up and see what is this gospel message that Paul is talking about when he says set apart for the gospel of God. And here it is, quote, the gospel he promised beforehand to the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In the New Testament church, as they're preaching the teachings of the apostles, and we see it in Acts when that first sermon was preached, so to speak, they always go back to the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. Okay? They go back to the prophets and say the prophets talked about this. I mean, Isaiah is like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. I mean, they had the gospel in the prophets. And so he says, he promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. This is the gospel story right here. Who as to his human nature, that's being coming to earth, being born of the virgin, as to whose human nature was a descendant of David. Got to get that in there. That's important to these people hearing this word. It's showing the incarnate. It's showing the man, son of God, son of man, giving credential to who he is, giving credential to the gospel. And who, through the spirit of fullness, was declared with power to be the son of God. Remember, there were those who said, how dare you? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gospel story. Now, that may not be what we use at the altar or when we go knock on someone's door. Let me begin with the prophets and tell you. But that's the gospel story. Proclaiming the message and the power and the history and the purpose and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says that is the message. And it is a message that we receive in grace and apostleship through the Father. Let's identify, just to avoid any confusion there, that term apostleship, that also sounds like one of those big church words that's not me, that's them. No. You're about to find out that is all of us. Yes, we see it listed among the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we think, well, that was the 12, and they saw the resurrection. Or that was Paul, because he was called out. Paul switches and bestows upon all of us the title of apostleship within this text. And he says, understanding or receiving of grace and apostleship through the Father. You want a simple term definition of apostleship? That sounds like a big word, doesn't it? That's a good Baptist church word. It means on mission. It means going. Now, we add to it, and I don't know that that's necessarily wrong. The only wrongness of that is it tends to then separate us to this us and them. Apostleship, we oftentimes think as the missionary. Apostleship, we also times think of someone who's going into the unknown, or the Lord's just put it in them, this passion and this zeal and this ability and these skills. Paul didn't say anything about all that. He said, this is the message through which we receive grace and apostleship. We receive grace and the calling to go. Is that simple enough? You receive grace and the calling to go, to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. So the third aspect that I already have read with you, and you're probably thinking I've already got the blanks filled in because I saw where you were going. It says the third aspect of the calling that Paul understood is that message is the same message that we use then to call people toward obedience through a faith. We call people towards obedience through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's slow down a second here. So Paul is first of all saying, we all have received grace and apostleship. You've just been commissioned. Okay? You have just been sent. Look at the sign when you leave the parking lot. I don't know how long it's been up there, but it's been a little while since I've been here. Okay? You've all been commissioned. Everyone got grace? We like the grace part, right? We may not like the accountability part that goes along with the grace part. It's like, I like the Jesus part, I like the Savior part, but I don't like the Lord part. He is Savior and Lord. That message that changed my life. And if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, without a doubt, we're going to be singing all seven verses of every praise song, driving you crazy in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If you know that and you believe that and it's a hallelujah moment, no one's going to steal it from you because they can't, then you know what grace is. Now, you might have forgot, and you may need to go review that, but you've got it, and you're living in it. But along with that, then, we must remind ourselves that that same message of grace in which the Lord called me out of my darkness, in which the Lord called me out of the prison cell into freedom of life, that same message, then, is the message that we use in our apostleship of going to call others out. When it says to call people toward obedience through faith, to call people into a spirit of repentance and acceptance. And folks, sometimes the world thinks we hear that word repent and we think it's this big mean word. Repentance means freedom. Repentance means new opportunity. Repentance means you don't have to do that anymore. Repentance means you no longer have to be controlled by a spirit that is controlling you, but you can turn from that and walk towards faith and in faith in a spirit of freedom in someone who loves you and desires to have relationship and work through you. So that's the message. The message that changed us is the message that will change them. And the message we need to continually remind ourselves continues to change us. Hopefully, I'm not the same level of Christian that I was when I accepted Jesus Christ. Now, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I received Him fully. You get the fullness of the Holy Spirit in completeness, but hopefully I have grown and matured in that. So we realize that in our, quote, apostleship, in our going, we are to be calling people toward faith. Yes, the Lord gives us various gifts. The Lord gives us various skill sets. But there are no excuses within any of that in regards to your calling to go share the gospel. Okay? These guys that I go out with on DR or help at the camp know that my skill set is not chainsaw or electricity. no laughter from the sound booth, okay? I know that. Okay? It's quite interesting that Bradley, in my interview process, was the one that got to ask me, how do you feel about fixing things out at the camp? You know, I mean, he knew the answer to that question. But you know what? I've come to terms that the Lord does use me in other ways. And I know someone that knows how to wire up a light switch. And I know the Lord gifts people in various different means and methods. And I know that the Lord has given discernment to some people. I know the Lord has given boldness to people. I know the Lord has given gentleness to people. I know the Lord, He does all of that in our, quote, calling. So we acknowledge the gifts, we acknowledge skill set, but all of that works together in the fact then that we are all called and sent out as apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be careful, it's just a little matter of semantics, but be careful when you use that idea of a gift or a skill. You have a gift as a believer in Jesus Christ. You have gifts as a believer in Jesus Christ. And that is different than a skill set. And that's a whole nother sermon, and we'll preach it another time. But we are to call people toward obedience through faith. Folks, no disrespect, and I'm sure anyone will receive my word and such because I'm about going to the foreign. But we are all commissioned to be His apostles wherever we find ourselves at on the journey. I say it humbly, I'll preach it myself. Who am I to go to India? Who am I to lead students to Canada? Who am I to take a group to Chicago if I myself, in my own Jerusalem, in my own comings and goings of daily life, am not walking in the grace and the apostleship that the Lord has called me to? You shall be my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem and. So this is not about signing up for a mission trip. This is not about getting trained in some witnessing program. This is not about a guilt trip to get you to do VBS, though that would work, right, Natalie? It's none of that. You who have received the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and walk in its grace and apostleship, therefore use that same message to call out others toward faith. So the final aspect of the calling that we see in verses 4 and 5, Paul says it. You are also then among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. A part of that calling is that, one, you also, whosoever surely meaneth me, you also are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That includes every single believer in Jesus Christ. There's no hierarchy in that. There's no position or power in that. There's no, I've got to sign up for something. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to understand the message of grace and going and to share that message with others. We know that the idea in the Great Commission that it says, go ye therefore, and it actually means as you are going. It's a continual verb. Whatever that means. No. It means it's constant. It's not a moment in time. It's a progressive experience. What is your calling? For the sake of this message, let me say your calling is not to be a missionary. Your calling is not that of pastor. Your calling may not be that of school teacher. Your calling may not be that of business person. For the sake of Romans 1 and the message to all of us, so none of us have a cop-out, you are called in grace to apostleship, which means you are called to go. You are called to belong to Christ Jesus. I like that one. And there's a lot of certainty. There's a lot of assurance in that one. Called to belong to Christ Jesus. Also, though, that means you're called to be a servant. Again, I like the Lord, I like the Savior part, but that Lord part is hard. I like that Jesus loves me. I don't like the, oh, now I have to do something about it. Called to belong to Christ Jesus, called to be a servant, and called to share then that message of faith. And folks, there are no boundaries and there are no programs identified within that term. Called to share a message of faith. If you are here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony. You shall be my, quote, witnesses. That is a legal law term. You have a testimony. You have a sworn statement that you can give. And no one can tell you that your statement is wrong. It is your eyewitness, heart experience account of what a Savior did for you and how you realized it. And now what you're doing with it. That's your sworn statement. That's your testimony. That is your gospel story. And the beauty of that is, let's just say 150 of us in here know it. They're all different, but none of them are wrong. And the Lord will put people in your path to hear your statement that would not have anything to do with mine. And that's the beauty of how He does it. You are called. Walk in grace and go in grace, and let's do something about it. Father God, this morning, we come to you humbly. And Father, I just want to back up and stop a moment. And there may be someone here this morning that needs to know what grace is. They need to know that they are forgiven. They need to know that there is hope. They need to know that there is possibility. They need to know that there is freedom. They need to know that there is forgiveness. They need to know that they are loved and beautiful. They need to have purpose. Father, there may be someone in this room that wants to do something but doesn't know what to do with it. Father, might they understand grace that comes only through Jesus Christ. Through the only begotten Son, who was sent because the Father loved the world so much that He would die for us, that we might know forgiveness, and that all who call upon His name can be saved. All who call upon His name and confess Him and believe with lips and in heart that He is Lord and Savior can walk in that. And so I just pray that today is a day of salvation for someone that needs to know forgiveness and hope. And Father, for those of us who know that, that we'll be reminded of it. And when we forget, that you'll take us back to it, or someone will shake us up a little bit and remind us of it. Maybe someone in this room who, there's no doubt, they know grace, they know forgiveness, but there needs to be reconciliation. Maybe today is the day of a handshake and a hug in a spirit of peace. But Father, all of us have a story to share. All of us have a message to tell. And none of it is about title or position, for we all know the message of grace, and you send us out in a spirit of apostleship to go. So this is our time this morning. Father, we thank you for love, we thank you for hope, and we thank you for using us even in spite of us. And to you be the glory in all things. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we have a closing time of worship, I want to be here to pray with you. Pastor Bradley will be available. And so let's just stand together. Maybe you're wanting to learn more about Hillcrest Baptist Church. Maybe you're needing to follow the Lord in baptism and your salvation's in place, but you never have walked through that death, burial, and resurrection of what baptism is. Maybe you're just hurting this morning and you need someone to pray over you and show you hope and possibility. That's what this time is for as we sing.